This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Mike Rizzo, President and General Manager of the Washington Nationals. And before that, we'll give you a chance to win some OAR tickets. Not only tickets, third row tickets for the show coming up at Merriweather Post Pavilion. The date of that show is August 26th.
So during the break, Jason sent over the picture of Iggy Azalea and one Jason Bishop from 2016. And what strikes me, Iggy Azalea looks, you know, attractive. She looks very good. Is that Jason still rocks the same DC United sweatshirt.
I don't wear that Nat slit anymore.
Something he does.
That's out of the rotation, but the DC United shirt, absolutely.
All right, well, in the rotation, the guest rotation is our friend Kevin Cole from PFF, at Kevin Cole PFF. On Twitter, he's a data scientist, host of the Unexpected Points podcast. What's up, Kevin? Good morning.
Good morning to you. Glad to join you guys.
Yep. We will be sure.
Fantasy drafts are just a couple weeks away, my friend.
We will be sure to pick your brain about some fantasy questions. That is definitely upcoming. But I wanted to see what you thought about Roquan Smith requesting a trade out of Chicago. Do you have a few landing spots that make sense? Do you think this is just a negotiating ploy? We know that there's a new regime there in Chicago. What do you think the landing spot is for Roquan Smith, if any, or does it come to a deal with the Bears?
Yeah, I think it is going to come to a deal with the Bears eventually. I know there's been a lot of player movement in this offseason, but I think for off-ball linebackers, it's probably not in a position right now where a lot of teams are going to be willing to give up a lot to get him. There's definitely been speculation about some places that he could possibly go to. But I think if you listen to what Ryan Poles said about him, he's trying to be deliberate. Maybe he's trying to draw a little bit of a hard line in his first year as GM there. But I think eventually things will get done there. The question just will be at what the amount is, because I think the linebacker, again, the position there, like the franchise tag amount is very high because you have a lot of outside linebackers who are really more edge rushers that are part of that, which sometimes makes negotiations more difficult for teams who use that franchise tag for leverage.
All right, Kevin, I got to ask you. I've got the number one pick in one of my leagues. Now, I'm in 100 leagues. All right,
too many.
I'm a degenerate, and that's what I like to do. But I've got the number one pick, and I've got the number two pick in another draft. And Cakes and I always talk about who he would draft, who I should draft at number one overall. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor's the guy based on last year, because he put up some huge numbers. But I'm kind of intrigued by C-Mac. And because when he was healthy a couple years ago, he put up just monster numbers. He had 1,387 yards in 2019. He had 15 rushing touchdowns. He had 1,000 receiving yards, 4 more touchdowns. All right, he was just a monster. 116 catches that year. But the last couple of years, poopy-doop, because he's been hurt. Are you buying into Christian McCaffrey as a possible number one overall pick in a fantasy draft based on the injury history of the last 2 years?
I mean, I am. I am buying into him as that guy. Yeah, you mentioned the injuries. I think everyone knows that's out there. Whether or not a player is quote-unquote injury prone, it seems like a lot of guys aren't injury prone until they are, or vice versa. So we never really know what's going to happen going forward. I think Jonathan Taylor is a fine pick if you wanted to go with him at the top of the draft because of the lack of injury concerns. But if you look at McCaffrey last year, what he was doing before he was injured, I mean, he's a guy who's going to get six, nine, even 10 targets in some of these games, pretty consistently being used in the passing game. He was still that guy. He was still leading everyone the first few weeks of the season before he went down. And the problem with Taylor is that you will get some games where he's targeted a few times, but there's always Nyheim Hines there. There's always others that they use in the offense. They're going to want to pass it down the field, I think, a little bit more with Matt Ryan. They got Alec Pierce in the second round to go and stretch the field there. So there's just probably less upside with Taylor. So if you want to take on that risk, I think there's no one has a higher ceiling than McCaffrey. And for that reason, I think he's a perfect pick to make, especially if you're in a PPR league where you're getting points for those receptions.
Kevin, you tweeted about this yesterday at Kevin Cole, PFF, and I'm terrified of drafting this guy. It's Javonte Williams from Denver coming into his second year. A lot of people thought, well, maybe Melvin Gordon leaves in the offseason, signs with another team, because they basically split the workload right down the middle between those two last year. And if I know Javonte Williams is getting 70% of the workload, I'm going to draft that guy in the second or early third round. If it's going to be another 50-50 split, I don't know what to do with him. How do you handicap him going into year two in Denver with better quarterback play and a pretty good offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, right now he's probably on a fringe top 10 type of running back as far as where his ADP is. But you're right. He basically split the workload 50-50 with Gordon last year. I don't see that necessarily changing. And it's also a situation where we talk about roles sometimes. Sometimes it's really great if you have a running back who can do the early down work and then also be the clear passing guy. But that's not necessarily the case here either, because Gordon's a pretty good receiver. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of risk. I mean, my problem with Williams is that you need a few things to go right as far as that workload split is considered, just for him to be a value at where he's currently drafted. And then, of course, you need even more things to go right if he's going to end up being a league-winning type of running back. So I'm generally fading him there. And I think another important distinction is that playing with Russell Wilson this year, it's not going to be Teddy Bridgewater dumping off the ball a bunch of times in the, you know, per game. I think there's been one Russell Wilson running back who's had more than 37 receptions in a season, and that was Marshawn Lynch a long time ago. So he's not going to get anywhere close to the, you know, 50, 60, 70 receptions that you can see for some of these early stud running backs, even if he does have that lead role.
Where would you, Kevin, where would you have had Davante Adams on your wide receiver ranking list last year before his unbelievable huge year last year with Green Bay? And then how much has he slipped since he's now not playing with Aaron Rodgers? I mean, maybe he still does put up huge numbers, but I got to think his numbers dip a little bit, especially since you got Renfro there, you got Waller, he's got other options. But I mean, the last 2 years were just unbelievable for Adams. He's got 20, he had 29 touchdowns the last 2 years. 29.
Yeah,
And 240 catches. I just can't imagine him having those type of numbers, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, the thing is, I think he is going to be the focal point for the Raiders. And I know there's the jokes about, you know, going from a Hall of Fame quarterback to going to a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, you don't necessarily need Hall of Fame quarterback play to have a really outstanding fantasy season. But what he was getting, and we'll just see whether or not this will be the case with the Raiders, is he was getting a lot of 1 or 2 yard touchdowns also, which those are just massively important when you're adding points there. And yeah, you mentioned Adams as far as where he was last season. I mean, Adams was the wide receiver one. He was the first overall wide receiver being taken last year. Now it's more like the fifth or maybe even sixth, depending upon how high people are on someone like CeeDee Lamb in Dallas. And I think there's also, you could throw into the same bucket Tyreek Hill, because he was two. So you have the receivers who were 1 and 2 last year that are now going maybe 5th and 8th just because of that uncertainty and situation.
Right. Who would you take first, Adams or Debo?
I'm going to take Adams. I mean, I'm a little bit, uncertainty I don't like with Debo Samuel. I know it's weird to say a guy who had 1,400 receiving yards, you don't quite know what's going to happen to him in the passing game this year. But I do feel like with the San Francisco going to Trey Lance this year, they're going to run a lot. They have probably the best defense or top three-ish sort of defense in the NFL, which is going to allow them to continue to do that this season. So they're going to run the ball a lot. They're probably not going to use him as much as a wide receiver, and if you just look at, as a running back, and then what you saw him do last year, there were just a lot of very long touchdowns, which are just probably not going to be replicated this year. And you combine that with the fact that I know it's been hype more than reality the last couple of seasons, but Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, if these guys are staying healthy, they're going to demand targets also. And Trey Lance is going to want to throw the ball down the field a lot more this season than Jimmy Garoppolo, who loved to throw the ball over the middle of the field, maybe 5 to 10 yards down the field, which was Debo's perfect spot to get it. So I think all those things combined are going to have him fall a bit more. So I'm probably a little bit low on Debo Samuel versus some other people.
Joined by Kevin Cole, PFF fantasy football expert. Give him a follow on Twitter at Kevin Cole, PFF. DJ Moore in Carolina. He has had a cornucopia of bad quarterbacks throwing him the ball since he came into the league. Kyle Allen, Cam Newton, Sam Darnold, PJ Walker in stretches. Look, Baker Mayfield, he has his warts too, but is he the guy that unlocks DJ Moore going from like a 4-touchdown guy to be an 8-9, maybe a 10-touchdown guy in Carolina, or am I putting his ceiling too high there?
No, I think his ceiling is definitely there. I mean, you mentioned the key. The key is touchdowns. So you can get away and have a pretty productive season even with bad quarterback play, as long as, you know, the team's down a lot, they're throwing it a lot, you're getting a lot of volume, you can get yards, you can get receptions. That's not a problem. The problem for Moore has been touchdowns. He's never had more than 4 touchdowns in a season. He's had 4 each of the last 3 seasons, despite the fact that he's being targeted last season 163 times and only getting 4 touchdowns. That's just extremely low. So I do think that number's going to go up more. And, you know, I know there was hope for Sam Darnold last season when he was coming in there, but he has been, you know, one of the worst, if not the worst quarterback in the NFL now for 3-4 seasons over that stretch. So Baker Mayfield, it's not like you're getting Hall of Fame level top 5, you know, Justin Herbert to Josh Allen type of performance out of Baker Mayfield, but even getting average performance, even being able to move that offense down the field and get near the end zone a lot more often is going to translate a lot. And supposedly the connection with DJ Moore seems like it's pretty real there. You always want to fade training camp buzz a little bit, but at least you're not hearing negative things there between Mayfield and Moore.
Talking to Kevin Cole, Pro Football Focus fantasy football guru. Since we're talking about receivers, there's a lot of buzz, and you just mentioned training camp buzz here in DC about Jahan Dotson. So you had 6 receivers drafted in the first 20 picks of this year's NFL draft. How do you go about looking at these guys? What can you expect from some of these guys? Who do you have rated the highest for this year?
Well, amongst the rookies, I have Treylon Burks rated the highest. I know Burks is one of these guys who's gone through a little bit of a cycle so far this offseason on people's perception. People were very excited about the landing spot because A.J. Brown wasn't going to be there. Then they got down on the fact that he wasn't able to make it through rookie minicamp, and now people seem to be back in on Burks. I just think there's too much opportunity for him there. So I think I have him at the top, but the one thing about Dotson, which is interesting, is all those other first-round receivers are going a lot higher than Jahan Dotson in fantasy drafts so far. I mean, I think some of that is opportunity. They don't know what's going to happen with Dotson there when you're competing with, you know, Terry McLaurin is obviously a top guy, re-signed to a big contract there. But at the same time, I think people just had generally a lower perception on Dotson going into the NFL draft. And I think that can be a mistake. And people can undervalue guys even going into the season because we're still holding on to our prior opinion on, you know, Dotson being more of a second-round receiver than what he actually was a receiver who was drafted even before Treylon Burks. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year. And I also think you're going to get a discount on him. You're probably going to get a discount on even Terry McLaurin now. I've noticed that he's falling a lot now because people are down on Carson Wentz. And again, you know, quarterback play, you don't have to be a Hall of Fame level quarterback play as long as you're willing and able to throw the ball down the field. And I think Carson Wentz is going to give you that.
Kevin, how big of a gap is there? Maybe there's not a big gap at all, but where do you have Jalen Hurts rated compared to Trey Lance?
Let me see. So I have Jalen Hurts rated higher. So, but basically back to back in the ratings.
Oh, okay.
I know, you know, it's one of these things where, so the NFL now, and with quarterbacks being able to run so much, it used to be more of, you know, random guy here or there who would run the ball. And it was, there's our analyst, Rich Rebar, who had a saying, he called it Konami code, because it was almost like a cheat code in a video game. The fact that you would get these rushing production. Now you're getting it for a lot of guys. And those are two guys where they're probably going to be near the top of the NFL in rushing for quarterbacks after someone like Lamar Jackson with what they're going to do on the ground. So that's the reason that I'm really high on Trey Lance this year. I'm going to put him above guys even like Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, who just aren't going to run the ball a lot this year, whereas some others may be slower to do that. But I'm going to bet on the upside for Trey Lance immediately.
Kevin, you mentioned Lamar Jackson. Are you all in on the Rashad Bateman year two breakout in Baltimore, or are you like pump the brakes just because they don't throw the ball a ton? They still want to focus on the rushing attack there.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of pump the brakes. I think that defense is going to be a lot better this season. What we saw from Baltimore last year, surprisingly, is a ton of pass attempts. They were throwing the ball a ton last year, especially versus the fact that they were, you know, the lowest in the league as far as their adjusted rate of pass attempts the prior seasons with Lamar Jackson. So I think they're going to try to return back to doing that again. So for that reason, I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit on Rashad Bateman. I just feel like, you know, there's never going to be a player for the Ravens with the way they want to play who's going to be overly targeted for the wide receiver position. We just have not seen it. We've not seen anyone be that productive there. So I think it's hard to bet on anyone doing it, especially with the fact that Mark Andrews is one of the top, you know, he's the second tight end in most fantasy drafts being taken now. He's going to eat up a lot of the volume receiving wise. And if the Ravens are doing what they want to do, there's just not going to be a lot else to go to everyone else on that offense.
Kevin, thanks a lot for the time. We always appreciate it. It's Kevin Cole, PFF Fantasy Football Expert, at Kevin Cole PFF on Twitter. We'll have to have you on again soon. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
See you, Kevin.
Always good data-driven insight.
He's high on Lance.
He is high on Trey Lance.
It's going to be very interesting to see how he plays.
High on Burks out of the receivers. Yeah. He was drafted 18th by the Titans, but
correct.
I guess he's going to be their number one.
It's looking that way with A.J. Brown departing. Robert Woods, is he coming off an ACL at this point still?
Yeah, he got hurt last year, right? Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have a lot of opportunities or a lot of targets to go around in Tennessee.
Well, Derek's going to get a lot
of carries.
Derrick
Henry's going to get a lot of carries.
That's the target.
Obviously, that is true.
Tannehill's going to turn around and hand the ball off to Derrick Henry a bunch.
Coming up next, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of third row OAR tickets for their show upcoming at Merriweather Post. Keep listening for your chance to win.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.